The Brain Collective on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.
Last week, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge and Prince Harry were in the news for the launch of their Heads Together mental health campaign. At the beginning of the campaign, Prince Harry bravely came forward and in an interview with the Daily Telegraph revealed that he has been working with a counsellor after William told him to seek help, having lived through 2 years of total chaos in his mid-20s.
My way of dealing with it was refusing to ever think about my mum because why would that help? It's only going to make you sad. It's not going to bring her back. All of a sudden, all of this grief that I'd never processed started to come to the forefront. I was like, there's actually a lot of stuff here I need to deal with.
Harry was only 12 when he lost his mother, Princess Diana, in a horrifically public car accident in 1997.
I can safely say that losing my mum at the age of 12 and therefore shutting down all of my emotions for the last 20 years has had a quite serious effect on not only my personal life, but also my work as well.
Many people go through traumas like this in their lives, but like Harry, don't know where to turn. I went to visit the Brain Collective in Harrogate, where Maria, Melanie and Paula, who run the neurotherapy clinic, see many people whose mental health has suffered following trauma. Paula explained why Harry's case resonated with them.
I think at the time he lost her very publicly. It was there in the media, no time really to grieve, just watching what was going on around him. And this is why Harry has now said it's taken him so long to actually get to the point of being able to talk about it and actually do that physical thing of talking to someone.
I asked Melanie if shutting down is a typical way of dealing with trauma.
Trauma tends to have an impact upon people in different ways, but one of the classic ways of dealing with it is to shut down, and shut down to the extent that people actually stop dreaming. And actually dreaming is a really important part of processing the emotional events of the day, the learning of the day, but it's a protective mechanism. And we see that very clearly when we're doing a brain map on people. We can identify when people, there are classic signatures that people demonstrate when they've been exposed to trauma. There is something called the alpha response, which when you close your eyes, the alpha waves should surge quite dramatically. And that's because when you close your eyes, you still see things, you still visualise things. But people who've suffered with trauma, when they close their eyes, there is no visualisation. And as I say, it's a protective mechanism. But not all people have that response. Some people actually go in the other way and become very anxious, very hypervigilant as a consequence of the trauma. So there are different ways people deal with trauma, and it presents on the EEG in different ways depending on how the brain has coped with that initial trauma.
And what does being hypervigilant actually mean?
So hypervigilant means very hyper-aware of your surroundings, depending on what your original trauma was. So, for example, if somebody had been raped by a man, then a woman would be likely to be very hypervigilant about men in general, you know, concerned or aware that all men may be potentially a threat, even though that's not the case. That's what we mean by hypervigilance. And, you know, it depends on what the original trauma is to what the focus of the hypervigilance is.
Maria was sat next to me holding a book that explains the differing reactions to trauma.
It's by a gentleman called Bessel van der Klok, who is a psychiatrist out in Boston who runs a phenomenal trauma clinic. And he has spent his whole career investigating trauma and how to best solve the root of the problem. He actually has a neurofeedback clinic which deals with traumatised people, but he does give an example in the book, which is called The Body Keeps the Score, which is a New York Times bestseller. It's a really famous book, of a couple who witness a terrible accident, husband and wife, and the wife who totally shuts down after the accident, and the husband who becomes massively hypervigilant. So same experience, but two very different responses. Bessel then goes on to describe how the clinic helped both individuals unlock those issues and problems and actually return to a more normal life.
The Brain Collective do this by offering neurotherapy, which involves mapping the brain and then using low levels of electromagnetic energy and brain training.
In a neurofeedback clinic, what we see when we do something called an EEG on the brain is traumatic stress on the brain. And this can often show in a variety of different patterns. So often there's excessive activity in the right temporal lobe, which is the fear centre of the brain, combined with too much frontal slow wave activity. So there is often a pattern. And this means that people are experiencing a lot of hyperarousal, a lot of emotion, and it's dominating their mental life. It's overriding everything, which is a very stressful place for someone to be in. All the research says is by calming that fear centre down, decreases that trauma and improves executive functioning and things like that, because people become incredibly foggy and disorganised in this state of mind as well.
And there's a reason for these common symptoms which goes beyond just the emotional effects of the trauma.
There is actually a physical change going on in the brain. It actually triggers a sequence of events that changes your neurobiology. So when we are exposed to a trauma, that will have lots of sensory issues associated with it. It might be something you see, something you smell, something that physically you touch and feel. But that actually stimulates a very fundamental part of our brain called the thalamus. And the thalamus has strong connections with parts of the limbic system called the amygdala and the hippocampus, which look at the significance of those sensory inputs that we're being exposed to. And then that actually transmits on towards two other parts of the brain that have very important roles in terms of emotional regulation and mental well-being. So what that is all saying is that when you get that trauma, it actually has a physical impact on some very significant parts of your brain. When neurotherapy comes in, is we can actually identify those parts of the brain, identify that dysregulation.
Paula works with Maria and Melanie at the Brain Collective with a focus on young people. Harry was incredibly young when he lost his mother, and it took him nearly 20 years to be able to talk about what happened. Is this common?
We're seeing a massive increase in the amount of young people and children coming through, and the research shows that it's 1 in 10 now actually have mental health issues or symptoms, and we definitely see young children here. And one of the benefits of doing what we do is the children don't always have to talk about it. We actually do the mapping for them and look at what their symptoms are and where the dysregulation is, and are able to help them in a way that they don't have to talk. And that goes back to Harry. One of the things he didn't want to do was talk about it. He wanted to just block it all out and deal with things the way he did.
And research suggests that 70% of young people presenting with mental health problems have not had an intervention early enough.
Bessel van der Kolk very clearly says, in his opinion, and you know, he's got vast amounts of expertise in this area, you know, often traumatic events can lead to ongoing mental health problems in later life. The importance of making sure that at some point these are dealt with is critical.
If Harry's words last week, or indeed what we've discussed with the Brain Collective, has resonated with you or a loved one, what would Melanie suggest you do?
Well, I think we would recommend coming to see us and getting a QEG brain map, because that enables us to look at the actual brain and how it's functioning and relating that to the symptoms. And then trying to find the best way forward for that person. It very much depends upon those particular issues. So there are options of the things that we can do here in terms of helping to reroute the brain, but often it is really important that somebody have involvement with somebody who can provide proper psychological counselling and talk therapy, because as we're working with the brain is beginning to change. There needs to be the opportunity for somebody to talk alongside what we're doing.
And you can find out more about the Brain Collective by visiting their website, thebraincollective.co.uk.
The Brain Collective on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.